I'm excited about Jesus. How about you? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, that was a nice surprise. I appreciate all the kind words, and I'm glad you sorted the other ones out. That's great. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that was a nice surprise. I feel the same way about the congregation. I love the people in this church. I think about you every day, every week. I pray for you that God will continue to move in each one of our lives. Answer the prayers every one of you have needs of, situations you're going through. That's what we are, the body of Christ. And at the end, we give God all the praise and all the glory because it's He that is the God is making it all possible for us to even be able to come together. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We had two, 3 weeks ago, we had a family here, husband and wife from Florida, and they came into our church driving by, and they thought they're going to stop in here. And the first thing they said to me is that they've never been in. The man said, as long as I've been a Christian, going into a church, I've never come into a church where I've been accepted so much with love. He said, I could not believe it. He said, the caring people in this church made us feel so welcome. And it just moved their hearts. He said the anointing of God was so strong in this church. And they had to go back to Florida. They're looking to buy a place here in Minnesota because they have family here, large family. And praise the Lord, if they come back, we'd love to have them come to Crossfire Assembly. And we even love the people coming here who don't like us at first, too. Because eventually the Holy Spirit grabs hearts and draws people. And I'm never upset if I hear negatives either, because I understand that anytime you preach the gospel, anytime you stand for what you believe, you're going to be shot at. You're going to be criticized, scrutinized, and everything else. But praise the Lord, that's part of serving our Lord. They did it to Jesus. They're going to do it to us, the congregation too. Amen. But God is faithful. It is He that will build His church. And it's been exciting. And praise the Lord. I could go on talking about the Lord, which I will.
Come on.
So, praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. That's the title of my message. Praise the Lord. You know, I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to speak on praising God with all of the negative that's happening in the world. All the things that are going on and will continue to go on and will get draw darker and darker as we get closer to the coming of Jesus, which I believe strongly that He's on His way. He's getting ready. We're going to hear a trumpet. Amen.
Amen.
I would hope and pray this church would empty out at that moment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'll leave that up to the Holy Spirit wherever you're at, that you say, Lord, help me. Amen.
Amen.
So praise facilitates access to God. Amen. Now, I understand that it's the blood of Jesus that paves the way. It's the blood of Jesus that we need for forgiveness of sins. That's what gives us access before God. But praise also facilitates access to our God. And we need to remember that too. Again, Bob read this. I'm going to read it again. Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Amen?
Yeah.
And into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name.
Yes.
That's the way we are to enter His court, with thanksgiving. We need to do that, and you hear me say that when you come forward, when we pray, thank God in advance. Jesus always thanked the Heavenly Father in advance for the answer that was already shown to Him. And we are to do that too, because we know His will through His word. So Psalms chapter 150 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power. You're going to hear that word praise a lot this morning. Amen. Let's hear you say it.
Praise,
praise the Lord. And every time I say praise the Lord, you're welcome to say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Every time I use the word praise, you're welcome to say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Do it, because God inhabits that. He's here this morning through the Holy Spirit. corporate and personal praise, and it's praise in the sanctuary. The sanctuary referred to the temple of God in the scripture is in Jerusalem. And one of the places the people were exhorted to praise the Lord was in the house, the very temple. And the church is now the temple of God. The church is the temple of God. When the believers in Christ gather together, it says in the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. That means born again Christian now. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen? That's speaking about being born again now. We are people, we are living stones. We are living stones who make up the temple of God. Therefore, when we praise the Lord on Sunday morning, it's not just something to fill in the time.
Amen.
You know, if we come here and we're just going to praise the Lord or say praise the Lord because we pick up Christian, I'll say, probably a bad terminology, lingo, what it becomes, we're wasting our time. But if we literally come here corporately as the body of Christ and we begin to praise God, the Lord moves supernaturally. Now, you and I may not physically see it, but spiritually, God is doing something in somebody's life. And you may say, well, it sure isn't me. I don't feel anything when I come. I just sit in a chair and that's it. It's just fun to come. Well, I'll tell you what, maybe it isn't you, but maybe it is the person next to you that God is working on right now. And it might be you some other time. Amen? It's something we do not do out of tradition either. But we praise the Lord because the Bible commands us to praise the Lord in His temple. It says in Psalms chapter 22, verse 3. How many brought your Bibles to you? Just hold them up in the air. Praise the Lord. That's your witness tool. That's your witness tool. And you say, well, I'm crowded by trees and fences. Nobody gets to see when I walk out. So what? Well, I tell you what, when you get out of Crossfire, we got a whole bunch of windows over here. And there's people that are looking out those windows watching people come to Crossfire. And I tell you what, they get convicted when they see a Bible. You're a witness when you drive in this parking lot. Because we've got a whole bunch of people that aren't in church in the morning that are sitting in their apartments watching TV right now. It says in Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. To inhabit means to live in. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21, it says, he is thy praise and he is thy God. We ought to praise him, people. Praise is where God lives. Did you know that? Praise is where God lives. Therefore, it would seem not only that we ought to praise God in his house, but that the very reason he makes it his house is because of the praise. See, who is the temple? The born-again Christian. So when we praise God, God's where he lives, in us. He lives where the praise is. Are you a believer that praises God on a regular, every moment of your life? In how you live, how you speak, how you act, how you treat others. Are we praising God? God does not meet us here at Crossfire Assembly by his Holy Spirit because there's something special about these four walls. That isn't why. That isn't it at all. He meets us here because he dwells in the praises of his people.
Yes.
Wherever we go, whether we're here, whether we're at home, or whether we're at the neighbors, or we're in the supermarket, he is there when we go in there because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when I praise him, wherever I go, I praise him. He's there. He's in his praise. See, he meets us here again because he dwells in the praises of his people. God desires us to praise him when we come together. He desires it. And when we do praise him, we invite his presence in the person of the Holy Spirit to receive his praise. The Holy Spirit. Psalms chapter, again, 150 verse 1, praise him in his firmament. That's personal praise. Not only must we praise God when we come together as the body in the church, but we also must praise God throughout the entire course of our lives. Amen. We should do that. The sanctuary was one small place set apart specifically for the purpose of worship. So it's no surprise we are expected to praise him there also. Amen. But with the next line saying in his firmament, meaning his heavenly temple and throughout the infinite spatial extent of his creation everywhere in the universe. We praise the Lord. Like when the astronauts go up in the outer space, they can praise God up there if they're born again Christians. And in the past, if you listen to some of the astronauts that are no longer living, made comments about when they got up above the earth, how incredible was seeing creation. And our God right now, we praise him because even they're seeing planets that are being created on a regular basis in outer space. They're seeing things being created. Who's doing that? It's our God. He's a creator. Creators don't quit creating. He's creating. And when you look up at night and look into the sky and see the stars and the planets, you can praise him and say, that's my God, because he has hung those things up in nothingness. They're just up there. God says, you stay right there. Mars, moon, you stay right there and go where I tell you. That's the God we serve. Hindu can't do it. Hinduism. Muslim, Allah can't do it. Only God, our living God. See, I just can't fathom in my head people walking around and wanting to praise Allah when he can't do a thing for him or even speak to him or do anything. He's dead. But they'll talk to him, hoping they get to a eternal residence, and they don't even have any insurance. But I do.
Yes.
I was just telling a guy the other day that how to get to heaven. I was sharing the gospel with him. But it's through Jesus Christ, a living God that resurrected from the dead. He's alive. And we will be alive also because of that resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
The psalmist tells us to praise the Lord in church. We should praise the Lord in church. When you come here, people, you say, well, nobody's going to make me praise the Lord. I don't feel like it anyway. Well, I tell you what, when you don't feel like praising the God, you ought to be praising the Lord. That's the best time to do it, is when you don't feel like it. Anybody can praise the Lord when everything's going good. Oh, do I feel good today? Praise the Lord. But I tell you, when all hell is against you, and you come into here, all hell is against you, and you don't know what the next moment's going to be, you can say, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Now, you may not feel like it, but we don't live by feelings. We live by our faith in a living God, and we say, praise the Lord. That does something. That moves the heart of God, because faith pleases God. And when you praise him, when he sees you give a sacrifice of praise in the middle of your trial, that moves his heart. And he's doing a work within your life and helping you to be the man, the woman, the child of God that we're meant to be, when we can come before him when things are tough and say, Lord, I praise you. I praise you. No matter if I die, I praise you.
Yes.
Amen. I did that one time. I was physically going through something, and I'd drive down the road, and I'd feel like I was just going to fall right over. Couldn't do any of that. Dealt with it for a while. And I said, praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for who you are. Lord, if I die from this thing, I'm going to praise you.
Yes.
Because I know you're a healer.
Yes.
And I tell you, that gives me victory. I encourage myself in the Lord.
Yes.
Remember David?
Amen.
You can encourage yourself in the Lord. And I tell you, one of the best ways to do that is praise.
Amen.
Is in praise. Hallelujah. I like what Psalms 34:1 says, the words of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times?
All
times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How often is it going to be in his mouth? Continually. Even right now while you're listening to me, you should be praising God. You should be saying in your hearts, I praise you, God. I thank you for your word. I praise you for it. Lord, I just praise you. I'm not even going to bring my need before you. I'm just going to praise you because I want to. See, we should praise the Lord continually. Hebrews 13:15, and I didn't put it in there, so you're not going to find it. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How often?
Continually.
How often are you to praise God?
Continually.
See, it isn't the pastor saying you got to do it. It's God's word that says you need to do it continually. There's a reason we should praise God continually, because we will get the victory.
Amen.
Yes. We will be more than conquerors. We are victorious in Christ. And I tell you, when you focus on Jesus, when you continually praise him, even in the midst of your trial and tribulation, it focuses away from the problem, the situation of life, and you focus on the one who has the answer, and pretty soon the answer is there, and now you got a reason to really praise him. But we praise the one, the living God, Jesus. What does it mean for praise to always be continually in my mouth? Now, you know, it certainly doesn't mean that we have to be singing 24/7, amen? We don't need to be doing that. Or we need to literally speak out praises every moment of our life. We don't need to do that naturally. But what it means is that we have a lifestyle of praise. A lifestyle of praise. First, we must set time apart specifically to praise the Lord when we pray. Must take time. We must take time to praise him. Don't just go in and begin to pray, but go in there and praise him.
Yes.
Praise him and thank him. Praise him. Secondly, when God has done something, even something small for us, we need to recognize him and praise him.
Yes.
We take so much of the small things in life for granted. And I tell you what, if we can focus even on that and praise God for the small things in life, we'll do it naturally. We're going to do it for the big things. But then God sees our hearts when we can be, Lord, I thank you for that loaf of bread today. I thank you for that. Now, you may have had $100 in your pocket. It was no problem. But you know something? It was God who gave you the $100. You forgot to praise him for the $100. You had focused on the bread, weren't you? Well, that's bread too, kind of what they call it, isn't it? Money? Thirdly, we must, by our actions, praise him. That is, we must live a life that is praising unto God. When you and I are out into the world, especially, not just in the world, but even in the church, our actions ought to be praising God. How we respond in the line at Walmart when it's busy should show praise to God. Amen? Instead of sitting there looking at that louse had to get in front of me. Man, I'm in a hurry. Man, I'd let the boot him out of here. And oh no, there's a problem with his UPC code. Oh. And we begin to praise God. What a moment to praise God. Maybe when we do that, and I'm speaking to myself too, people. Maybe when we do that and begin to praise God instead of looking at the negative and begin to praise God, maybe he's got a purpose and a reason for us standing there that extra 60 seconds.
Yes.
Do you ever think about that? God can do a lot in 60 seconds. Maybe he would have opened up something to give you an opportunity to praise him in front of somebody and help somebody who needed to hear something encouraging. But we miss so many opportunities in life because we get so into ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially in our society today. This is a me society. It's all about me. It's all about me on the road. It's all about me wherever I go. But we got to remember that God sent Jesus to earth to die for the lost. And you and I, once we become born again, we are messengers of the cross that God sends out into a world. So next time you get in a frustrating situation in a restaurant or in a motel or in a wherever, stop and praise the Lord. Begin to praise him. Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. John 15:8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And even if you're on your job and there's things happening in your job, they're tough, they're stressful, there's situations you have no control over, and it may be people causing it, it may be situations causing it, begin to praise God. And I can say that based on the Word of God, on the authority of the Word of God, because God says continually and praise him. Maybe that circumstance might begin to change. Or God may be leading a different direction. See, when we live a holy life, that is, when we live right, that's also a form of praising God. And surely God is not interested in lip service. He's not interested in that. This is someone who praises him on Sunday, but then does not praise him by living right throughout the week. They live a totally different lifestyle, maybe. They're living like the world, but yet they'll walk in here and they'll use their lips to praise God, but when they leave, they'll begin to live a totally different world. God's people should be praising God the same as they do in here when they go out there. I mean, from the heart to God, not lip service.
That's right. Amen.
Because there's people in church that do lip service. I got to be honest with you. God knows. And people, I got to keep encouraging you as well as myself to remember that one day I will stand before him and give answer. Yes. If we're just standing here and we don't really care and we're just saying praise the Lord because somebody tells us to, you're missing the whole point of what it is to praise God. When you stand here, even if you're struggling with it, and God understands that. He understands that you and I go through times of hardship, that we go through times of coldness, that we walk through the desert of life. But I tell you what, when he sits there, he can see when we're working hard to praise him. Lord, I don't want to praise you, but I praise you anyway. I glorify you. I praise you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. See, God wants both your voice praise and your lived praise. Did you hear that? He wants your voice and your lived out praise. He wants both of them. He wants both your church praise and your home praise.
Amen.
Do you praise the Lord in your home?
Yes.
Huh? Praise the Lord. He wants your praise when you are together with his people. Praise the Lord. Amen? Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't say you had to. I said, let's just all do it. And your praise when you are all alone with him and nobody else is around or looking or hearing, you should be praising God. I tell you, the greatest place to do it is in your car sometimes when you're driving too. Amen. Amen. I used to, yeah, nobody. Maybe you need to open a window for some people, huh? But I tell you what, you know, I've been caught looking probably like a ding-dong, you know. And you know, I used to do a lot of traveling around the five-state area, too, when I was traveling around for sales. And it was a great place to praise God in the car and just praise him. And you forget, all of a sudden, you forget that you're praising God and there's people driving by. There's another one. Amen. So praise for what he has done and praise for who he is, people. Psalms 150 verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for who he is. What to praise him for? His mighty works of creation, and I mentioned that earlier. Praise him for that. What a beautiful thing that we can look and see his creation all around us. Look in this earth that he has created. Look at all the beautiful mountains and lakes and streams and forests and all the beautiful plants when they're changing in the fall. We can say, Lord, I praise you. There's no artist like God. I tell you, there's so much to praise him for. If you don't know what to praise him for, just walk out the steps and look outside.
Yes.
You can praise him for the green. You can praise him for the gray skies. You can praise him for the white snow that comes down. Yes. For the white snow that comes down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, I do when I'm... I praise him. I can praise him when I'm shoveling, too. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 72, verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Who only doeth wondrous things. That's the God we serve. You can praise him for who he is because he does wondrous things. There are several types of deeds that we can praise him for. Also, the first I will call just general needs. Deeds. We can praise God in general because of the great things he's done in the past. Amen. Has he ever done anything for you in the past?
Amen.
Well, you better if you're in here and you're saved. That's one great thing right there. Indeed, we can read of great miracles recorded in Scripture. And throughout the history and the praise, we can give God for them. And we can hear testimonies of what God is doing throughout the earth or even for those whom we love and cherish. And we can praise God for them. And each one of us sitting in here, and Roger gave a testimony, and there's more to that testimony. I got a testimony. Everybody in here has got a testimony. You can praise God for what he's doing, small or great, in our lives. You can praise him.
Amen.
You don't have to wait. Do it right now. Praise him. Hallelujah. See, we can hear testimonies of what God is doing throughout the earth or even for those whom he loves and cherishes, and we can praise God for them. We can praise him for it all. In this category, there are so many things that we can praise God for. We can praise him for creation, for giving us the gift of this earth. We can praise him for life and breath and family. See, even in our physical beings, we take even our physical beings for granted, don't we? We really do. You ever get a little hurt somewhere and you thought that, it's, you know, you think it's out of somewhere, it's not going to bother you? There's no place on your body that a little hurt doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Or you're always rubbing it or bumping against something and whatever. And you begin to, Lord, I thank you for my skin. I thank you for my heart. I thank you that when it beats right, I thank you for my health. I thank you for every organ I have. Lord, I thank you that I have eyesight. I thank you, Lord, that I have a brain that I can think. I thank you, Lord, that I have a nose that I can smell. Lord, I thank you that I have teeth that I can chew my food with. Lord, I thank you for my tongue that I can use for speech. And Lord, I thank you for my ears that I can hear. I thank you, Lord, so much for my fingers, Lord, that I can reach out and my toes. That I can balance and walk. I thank you for my legs and my arms. Lord, I thank you for every organ internally within me. And Lord, I thank you for my hair. Some of us got less, but we thank you for it. There's so much to be thankful for. We could go on and on and on and on. We should praise him for all of these things that we take for granted, but which we know are truly gifts from God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. They come from our Father. Psalms 31:21, blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. See, in this verse, the psalmist is reflecting on a particular event. When he was besieged and God showed him love of the many times that God directly intervened and rescued David. Many times. Does God ever intervene for you? Has he? Then you need to praise him, don't you? Sometimes we forget to praise God. Sometimes there's things in our lives and they get answered and they come to pass and we haven't even thanked God, haven't even acknowledged him. And that's why we should always praise him and thank him up front. We praise him. The second kind of deeds we must praise God for are the specific things he's done in our lives. When we are in a spot and we don't know what to do and we cry out to him, we need to praise him. When we cry out in prayer for something, we need to praise him for that. We need to praise him, not only for that everyday thing, which are gifts from God, but also in the specific situations when he has worked for us, we must praise him. We must praise him. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation." Inhabitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The greatest deed that God has ever done is the salvation of our souls. And we should never quit praising him for that. It was all done through Calvary's cross, that he died on a cross, and it was for your and my sin. And we should be ever eternally grateful and in a spirit of praise. Every time we think of the God we serve, we should say, "Lord, thank you for saving me." And some of us have moved so far from that point of where he saved us, we are forgetting to praise him. And we take our salvation for granted. It's what you need to do is tell somebody your story. So you remember what God has done for you and saved you. I've done that a few times up here, haven't I? And it moves me every time to realize at one point in my life, God intervened and saved me from an eternal hell. And I praise him for that. I praise him for that. And the greatest praise that I ought to give to God should be for salvation. And even had he done no other deeds for us, this one deed alone is enough to want to praise him eternally. And we must praise God that he has saved us, that he has redeemed us out of darkness, that he has forgiven our sins. For that, our God is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Jesus paid it all, and we can praise him. We got to let our faces show it. We got to let our faces show it that we serve a living God. Young people today, do you know that there's young people watching you? There's young people to watch our lives too. There's young people going through hardships in life, and they sometimes get to a point and they think there's no hope. There's nothing to life. And that's how Satan comes in and steals and kills and destroys a young life, because they become hopeless. And that's a lie.
Amen.
He wants to destroy us and take us off the earth, because we're created in God's image. And when we, God's people, don't live the way we're supposed to, young people see it too.
That's right.
They see the hypocrisy in a home, in a church, wherever they go. And they're watching Christians as well as their own families. And we need to remember that and begin to praise God. And remember, there's little eyes watching us too. But on the top of praising God for things he's done for us, he is worthy of praise. He's just worthy of praise. He's simply worthy because of who he is. And we delight in praising God because he has done so much for you and I. I love to praise him because he saved me. I've said that earlier. I love to praise him because he healed me, and he's healed me many times. I enjoy praising him for many great things that he has done and he is doing and that he will do in my life. However, even if he had not done anything for me, I still need to praise him for who he is. Just because of who he is, we must praise him. By faith. Sometimes it's just faith. It's better felt than telt. But sometimes it isn't always there, and it's a faith walk. And we praise him. You may have walked in this morning and you're miserable in your spirit. I tell you, the way to get out of that misery is to kick the devil in the face and praise God.
Yes.
Praise the Creator. I mean, if people can praise a dead God, and they do, we should be praising a living God.
Yes.
Who's actively working in our life, who has a purpose and a plan, and allowing things to happen to us to keep us on that narrow path. That's what he's doing. There's a big wide path, and many people are on that big wide path today. That big wide one. And God has called us to a narrow path. There's not many ways and many things. It's only one path, is Jesus. It's a narrow path that Jesus called us to. And there's many that are saying it's okay to broaden out your scope. God does many things many different ways. There's many ways to reach him through all these different things. No, it's only through Jesus. Amen. Through the cross is the only way, the narrow path. Amen. See, I'm as narrow-minded as this book. I believe there's only one path as thick as this. That's how narrow-minded I am. There's only one way. And if you don't like that, that's your problem, not mine. Because I'm basing it on what it says in here. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. Many there go. And that's who we're called to go out and get. You still with me, people? I'm getting close to done somewhere. I don't know exactly where. Praise the Lord. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Hallelujah. Psalms 48:1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. Our God is a great God. Say it with me. Our God is a great God. We need to speak it out sometimes, don't we? To remind ourselves that he's a great God. And we praise him. And because of his greatness, he is most worthy to be praised. Amen. Because of that greatness, because of his great attributes, his great characteristics, God is worthy to receive our praise. Amen. He's worthy to receive our praise. When we praise God for who he is, we really are also praising him for what he's done. That's what we're doing. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Not because he had done anything great, even though he had. But they praised their God even in the presence of their enemy, simply because he was a holy God, and the holy God deserved praise. And you and I need to remember that too in your and my life, that when we are surrounded by our enemies, the situations of life, we need to praise God. Amen. We need to praise him just because of who he is. Again, the psalmist praises God because of his righteousness and even simply because of his name. Listen to Psalm 7, chapter 7, 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Because of his righteousness. Have you ever been in love? I should have heard everybody say amen. I mean, at least the older folk. Not the little kids. Well, the little kids are loved too, I mean. See, when you're in love, does that person need to do anything for you to admire them? Doesn't it? You don't. You admire, we could even say, praise her for her beauty, for her sweetness. That's why I did Ruth here. And then she admired me for my strength and my charm. I didn't even have to do anything. And you love someone because of who they are, not for what they do, amen? That's what we do. And so we love God because of who he is. What he has done is simply an extension of who he is. Isn't that the truth? And so we must praise him for who he is. We love him and praise him because he is love, holy, just, and powerful, peace, unchanging, faithful, mercy that endureth forever. And because he is so much more than that, I don't have enough paper. And that's the truth. In the way of praise, Psalms 150, verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. See, one type of praise is powerful praise. This kind of powerful praise is demonstrated in Joshua when the walls of Jericho fell. It is also demonstrated in Acts when Paul and Silas were in prison, and even in those circumstances, by faith, they praised and brought an earthquake and salvation to a house. Now, I'm not suggesting that people be praised in bringing walls down, or that Paul and Silas praised the earthquake into existence. They didn't do that. I'm not saying that praise is a magic formula that we can use to manipulate God, because it's not. What I'm saying is that when we praise him with authority and the power in the name of Jesus, when that faith is an extension of our faith in God, then we will see powerful breakthroughs. in the example that we read earlier where the king had men praising God for the splendor of his holiness in the presence of his enemies, they were going into battle, and the result was, listen to this, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which was come against Judah, and they were smitten. See, while they were singing and praising God, God was at work.
Yes.
You need to be singing and praising God so he'll be at work in your life. What battle are you facing today? Maybe you need to be singing and praising God, and he goes to war. Praise is an effective weapon against the devil. I firmly believe once the good angel Lucifer and God's praise leader in Isaiah 14, okay, was kicked out of heaven and doomed to destruction due to his desire to be like God. The evil. He has hated praise ever since because of its reminder. And Satan hates it when you and I praise God. He hates it with a passion. Wouldn't you want to do it even more?
Yes.
Have you ever had loved ones who died of cancer? You know something? Praise God, because cancer is of the devil. It's not of God. All sickness is, to me, according to Scripture, is of the devil. It's a curse upon man because of sin. All the evil things that are happening in your family, all the things that are going on in your life right now that can be demonically inspired, you need to be praising God. Satan hates it with a passion. Just think, he was once God's choir director. He hates it with a passion. And then praise him with the harp and the lyre. It says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to praise God peacefully. Amen? Just peacefully. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. See, there are times when we need to enter the rest of his presence and praise him quietly and peacefully. There are times when we must even simply be silent before the Lord, praising him in our hearts. There are times when the powerful praise of Jericho isn't necessary, but we should instead be led of still waters. There are times when we must win victory by praise, and times when we must surrender through praise, throw our hands up to God and surrender to him. Lord, I praise you. It's out of my control. I've prayed and I've asked you, Lord, and it seems like nothing's changing. I just surrender to you now. I surrender it. That's peaceful praise to a God who knows.
Yes.
Psalm 63:4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And then there you have the shallow and the deep. And I'm, again, almost done. Kind of gives you a little sense of peace, doesn't it, when I keep saying that? Might not be where I'm at, but it's, you know, gives you some sense of, hey, I do get to go home. Psalms 150, verse 4. Praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. That means joyful praise. Joyful praise. There are times when we need to praise the Lord with joy, when in fact our hearts are filled with joy by the Holy Spirit because of the things that God has done for us. We need to do it joyfully. This kind of praise is represented by dancing and playing tambourines. It always amazes me when Christians, God has moved in their life and answered their problem, and they never praise him. They just go around and blah, blah, blah about they got this and this happened and da, 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 and they forget that there was a hand behind the scene that loves them, and we should be praising him. We should be praising him. Although this kind of praise may take different forms for different people, this is an excited, jubilant type of praise. And when you maybe be caught up in the moment, this kind of praise may even be viewed as foolishness to the world. You ever been there when you praise the Lord and somebody goes, God had nothing to do with it, man. It's just because I'm really good. No. The Bible tells us in Psalms 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Did you hear that? Praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is right to sing and to praise joyfully to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I probably look foolish to some when I say praise the Lord and get excited. I don't care. I don't. I praise the Lord for what he's done for me. He saved me. I praise him. I need not man's approval. I praise the Lord. I glorify him. It is right to sing and praise joyfully to the Lord. It's right to do that. Even when David danced before the Lord, he was called foolish. But then said that he would become even more undignified. I like David. He got excited about Jesus. Some say, I would have never done that. Well, I did because I want to praise the Lord, and it didn't bother me. Is this Pentecostal church? I got to keep reminding us. There are times when we need to be uninhibited in our praise. That's one thing in I love about my African brothers and sisters in Christ. I really do. I admire that. I really do. I think that's something that God put in their lives, even back when they were going through the struggles of slavery and different things. Many hymns were written, and God moved, and they were praising God, and even the depth of despair with no hope. And there was such a depth in their praising God and their children and everything. And even today, you know, I would go into Chicago, into the ghettos and New York and stuff, and I'd talk to young children. I could tell mommy and grandma had been feeding the word of God into their hearts because of the respect for God when they come into the house of God and you begin to talk to them about Jesus. One time I was driving even down in Minneapolis here and I had my big old Dake's Bible with me on the way to Teen Challenge. There was a load of my African brothers in a van in front of me, and they were giving me gestures that you don't want to give in church or anywhere else, to be honest with you, and all laughing. And as all I did is I took my big Dake's Bible with the big cross on the front and I held it up while I was driving like this here, and while they're looking, all of a sudden they all turned around in their seat to look forward because they respect the word of God. They respect the word of God, people. And I tell you what, that kind of praise we need today. Yes. We need to praise. You shouldn't even need a reason. And I tell you what, if you start praising God out loud in here, you're not going to offend me one bit. Now, if your phone goes off, that's a different story. But I tell you what, if you're praising God, it doesn't bother me one bit because I know you're praising God because he led you by the Holy Spirit to do it. I know there might be somebody, you talk too much, boy. That's okay. Just as there's praise which expresses the joyful emotions that we can experience in Christ, so there is praise that is deep expression of the heart. It comes from the deep emotions within inside. It's a praise that comes from deep within you and I. That somehow expresses your deepest innermost feelings. And the psalmist speaks of this kind of praise. Psalms 84:2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Have you been there? Have you been there where you said, Lord, I just love you. I praise you. I glorify you from the depth of my very being. And you don't even know there's anybody around you because you're like the psalmist. My soul longeth, yea, it even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. It's a kind of hard for me to express this kind of praise in words, people. It's hard to do that. Just as hard as it is to actually praise him in this way many times. It's kind of like what Paul speaks of in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of your spirit and it gets in the innermost of your being, you begin to praise God. Man, you begin to run around the church building here. You begin to praise God. You run through the chairs in victory because the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is moving through you. People, have you ever seen that? Have you ever done it? Never. I have. That's incredible. When the Spirit of God will literally get a hold of somebody's spirit. And many times that person is in deep pain. But God, the Holy Ghost in them, moves. See, even though Paul is talking about prayer here, it's a kind of the same thing. This is a deep spiritual praise. In the Greek, it refers to intense yet inaudible sighing. There can be a praise going on with inside of you even that nobody's even aware of. But you need it because it's bringing healing to your soul. It's bringing healing to your circumstance. It's bringing healing to your situation. Allow that praise to well up. You may not even understand why, Lord, am I praising you with inside when I'm hurting so much outside. That's what Paul is talking about. Onlookers may not recognize the great value of this praise when people are dancing and joyful. It is easy to recognize the moving of the Spirit, though. But there are times when we must passionately and deeply praise. It is equally the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is equally necessary in your and my life. Psalms 155, praise Him up on the loud cymbals. Praise Him up on the high-sounding cymbals. Ever-increasing crescendo of praise should be coming from us as we're moved by the Holy Spirit. It should increase. See, this verse speaks of how we are to continually increase and grow in praise from a clashing cymbal. Brian, when you hit those cymbals, you're praising God every time. And sometimes you're pow, and you're praising God. And it's like fireworks going off in your spirit, praising God. Don't be afraid to do that if the Lord leads, brother. Hallelujah. I truly am almost right to the finish line here. Truly. Our praise must grow. People, our praise must grow until it's only a clash on Sundays or at certain times. But until our entire life is continually symphony of resounding cymbals with some clashes thrown in, sometimes we praise in a special way.
Yes.
In a special way. Our praise must grow. Lastly, Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Yes. Luke chapter 19, verses 39 and 40. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. See, even an inanimate creation under God's control, God can make it praise Him. When God created Adam, He breathed life into the dust of the ground, didn't He? Do you think He could do the same for those stones? I might just bring a bucket of stones in here. You know, He's the same God. That's His word. If we don't praise Him, those stones might start. Whatever they do. God will, people, you can start preparing for communion. See, God will be praised, but as those who have breath, the breath of God breathe into us. It's our job to praise. It's not the jobs of stones. It's us. Don't be intimidated by the person sitting next to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We must take our responsibility to praise the Lord and to praise Him in many different ways seriously. Jack Taylor's commentary in his book, The Hallelujah Factor, he says, when we praise, productivity is maximized, fulfillment is realized, and frustration is neutralized. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord. We're going to take communion now. This is a time when we need to examine our hearts. Where is your heart with the Lord right now? Only the Holy Spirit knows. Examine your heart. Say, Lord, why can't I praise you the way I know I should? Ask Him why. He's not afraid. Do that. Prepare your heart before communion. This is vitally important. You know, people sometimes take communion unworthily. They're living ungodly lives outside these walls, and then they'll take communion and say and repeat what Jesus tells us in his word here. And it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup, Lord, unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord." You see how serious that is? "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth, drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That's why we train our children to understand the value of communion and the importance of it, because this is the Word of God, and it's reality, it's living. Examine our hearts before our Creator. And Lord, we praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark, would you and Christian come down here? I don't know if it's down. It's probably level. I don't know. I'm just going to say it this way. We need prayer, don't we? We need prayer. He's battling. He's battling. The devil is out. He's got targets on their backs. We're the body of Christ. There's serious battles going on. I believe the Holy Spirit, and I apologize if I've embarrassed you by bringing you down, but we're the body of Christ. And I've been in many services where we've been called, myself even at one time, because we love you guys, and we want to see victory, don't we? And before we take our communion, I just want to pray. Sandra, you come up here because you're part of this young man's life too.
Sir, I was going to ask, Brethren, I was going to ask Pastor at the end of the service to pray for Christian.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I wanted all of you to pray because we're all important. And we need to lift up our brothers in Christ right now, this family. And we'd do that for anyone here. But I know the seriousness of things that the devil's trying to do. I want you to put your hands forward as you agree with me in prayer over my brothers. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're in a warfare right now. And Lord, when one of our brothers, you said, hurt, we hurt with them. When they laugh, we laugh with them. When they cry, we cry with them. And Lord, we lift up Christian right now. We come against that demonic spirit. A lying spirit has attached itself, and I command it to come off Christian right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your word says Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, Christian asks you, Jesus, into his heart. And Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will manifest in Christian's life this week. And a new joy will come in his spirit. And we take authority as the body of Christ and command every lying spirit, every demonic spirit of destruction to come off of him right now in the name of Jesus and off this family. And Lord, I pray you put a love in the heart between father and son, dear God, and give them wisdom, Lord, in the days and the hours ahead, Lord, to move forward, knowing that this is a spiritual warfare, that it's not flesh and blood, but there's actual spiritual warfare in the demon spirits that would try to hinder, kill, destroy, and steal anything from them. We, as the body of Christ right now, speak to them to be gone in Jesus' name. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. Resist him. We resist you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak the blood of Jesus over Christian's mind, over my brother Mark's mind, and over their home right now in Jesus' name. And we command you, Satan, to get thee hence in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And Lord, I speak that precious blood over my young brother's mind right now. Lord, because this is a body of believers that truly loves this young man. And whatever the enemy would put into his mind that would be destructive is from the pits of hell. Because he knows that he can grab another soul, he's going to do it. But Lord, you've given us Jesus. And so, Lord, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit right now move upon Christian, move upon Mark, bind them together in even greater love, and let them come together as Father and Son, and not allow the enemy to tear their family apart in any way. And Lord, give Christian such a strength of your presence in his heart, Lord, that when those lies come, he can resist. Lord, give him peace in his heart. Take away the trouble. Take away the anguish. Take away the frustration in the name of Jesus. Loose him from the bondage that would try to keep him bound up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sandra. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 26. It says, for I've received of the Lord. Take your wafer, a symbol of the broken body of Jesus. You can crush it between your fingers if you like. For I've received of the Lord that which is also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Did you hear that? When he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. Let's all partake. Christian, that's what Jesus went through. He knows. He said he did it for us. It's a symbol of the broken body. And if you need healing in your body, cry out to him, because that's part of that benefits. And then we take the grape juice, a symbol of the blood of Jesus. It says in verse 25, 1 Corinthians 11, after the same manner also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's all partake, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and lives within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, we praise you for what you did on Calvary's cross. And forgiving us of our sins and putting them, separating them from the east, from the west. There's no meeting ever again. Those sins will never be remembered. And Lord, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, I pray for every person in here today. Again, Lord, that your hand of grace and mercy continue to be upon them, that your blessings be upon them, Lord, that you meet the needs of their lives. And Lord, let them be so thankful. Let them praise you this week. Let us continually to praise, Lord, to remember to praise you, Lord. When they get in their cars, let them praise you on the way home. Let them praise you for the food they eat today. Let them praise you that they're able to go home. For there's some that are not. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Look at somebody and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Marion, you're going to praise the Lord with me. Everything. Amen. That, praise the Lord. Everything that, Larry, you're going to praise the Lord everything with me here. That Darlene, you might as well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that
Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of my soul. If we could see how much your word, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to praise. Let everything that, let everything that, let everything
join us. Please join us downstairs for some cake. Praise you, Jesus.
Mom.
Thank you.
Let's put this back.
You guys, great job today.
Jeff was amazing with that pickup.